Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we are continuing our Get in the Game series. We've been looking at servitude, being a servant, and what that means not only as a disciple of Christ, but what that means here specifically at Emmanuel United Methodist Church. And we saw the first week that Jesus tells all his followers, if you truly want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. And then we looked, if we're going to be great, if we're going to be the greatest, Jesus says we have to first serve. And then last week, we looked at how we're all part of one body with different functions. And I know a lot of us took the spiritual inventory test. I hope you took that. I hope you prayed over it. I hope it showed you something. Most of you probably didn't want to see what it told you, because it showed you actually do have some gifts. You never knew that just caring about people could be a gift, did you? But sometimes that's what we need. We need people who are good at caring about people and calling people and checking on each other. Today, we're going to look at a passage from James. A familiar passage from James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And I think you can find that on page 981 in the Pew Bibles. But if you're in your own Bible, we're going to be in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Hear these words. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scriptures were fulfilled that said Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to give you a disclaimer up front. Knowing that I didn't know what I was going to wake up to this morning, I've had a lot of coffee. And I may be the only one, but I'm really excited to be here. So I've got a message that I know God wants you to hear, and we're going to stay until you get it. So the quicker you get it, I think that you understand, the quicker we'll leave. Deal? Deal. The rest of you said, I'm leaving when I want to leave. I don't care what you say. Why should today be any different, right? So here's the deal. It's football season. It's baseball season. It doesn't take long for somebody to figure out who our favorite team is, does it? Some of you even wear your stuff to church. I'm not going to say that that's, like, wrong, because some of it's right. But we'll wear our stuff everywhere. We'll plaster our cars with it, won't we? License plates. Some of us are even so lame we get it on our checks. Right? We'll put our favorite team everywhere. And if you're not a sports fan, maybe it's a favorite movie star or a musician or something. People know what it is. They can tell by what you wear, how you act. It slowly becomes part of who we are. But our scripture today tells us that without works, without serving others, our faith is dead. So the question that I want to ask you today is, would anybody even know that you were a Christian? Would anybody even know that you were on the field for God's team? So here's a disclaimer. We're talking about works. We're talking about serving. And oftentimes we get this confused with a works righteousness kind of faith that we can earn our salvation. We can earn our way into heaven. There is nothing more incorrect than that. Methodists a long time ago were accused of being a works righteousness kind of people because they believed in going and serving others. So I want to make that clear up front that that's not what we're saying. And I want to spend a little bit of time giving you some background information on what we're really saying, that your faith is dead without works. I found this week. It says, the linkage between faith and works is unbreakable, as between the heart and life. John Wesley says this, it is incumbent on all that are justified, all that are saved, to be zealous of good works. And these are so necessary that if a man willingly neglects them, he cannot reasonably expect that he shall ever be sanctified. He's not saying that you can't be justified, you can't be a believer. But he's saying that if your faith has not created good works to come out of you, you can never truly become fully mature in Christ. That you still have room to grow in your faith. He says this, grace enables faith. Faith then in turn produces works. So let me explain it to you this way. My athleticism, my charm, and my good looks as an 11th grader, let me get there, caused Stacy to really fall head over heels in love with me. And over time, the deeper in love with me that she has gotten, the more she is then willing to do for me. Does that make sense? It's a good example. Just change the names, okay? But so in reality, I have become so head over heels in love with Stacy. Now we're getting somewhere, right? That it actually inspires or encourages what I do for her and for my family. Does that make sense? It's not that, man, we just, boom, we met each other and I was willing to do all these things. It's a process of learning what to do, what not to do, and what makes her happy, and then knowing what makes her happy then makes me happy. Right, guys? Y'all know it. I'm not going to say it online, but y'all know the saying. Our faith is the same way. See, it's not that the day that we come to believe in Christ that we're expected to be doing the works that Billy Graham was doing. But as we mature in our faith, we should be growing in the way that we serve and love others. Jesus said this. He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything and to love your neighbor as yourself. Faith first, works second. On the United Methodist Church website, it says, the means of grace, that's the way Wesley felt like you grew in grace, said, are God's works invisibly in disciplines, strengthening and confirming our faith so that God's grace pervades in and through our lives. And so it says, as we look at the means of grace, they're divided into two groups, works of piety. Those are things that help you grow in your faith, scripture, worship, those types of things, and then works of mercy. Works of mercy for other people, doing good works, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, giving generously to needs of others. Faith and good works. It's who we're called to be as disciples. It's who we were created to be as the people called Methodist. It continues and it goes on to say that United Methodists insist that faith and good works belong together. What we believe must be confirmed by what we do. It's a lot easier to show somebody the transforming power of the Holy Spirit by how you treat them than the words you say to them. They don't care how many songs I can sing. They don't care how many scripture verses I can quote if I don't also love and serve. Matter of fact, it goes on in the Articles of Religion in our Book of Discipline, and it says this: although good works, which are the fruits of faith and follow after justification, cannot put away sin. See, our works can't save us and endure the severity of God's judgment. Yet they are, our good works are pleasing and acceptable to God in Christ, and they spring out of a true and lively faith. So I want you to think for a minute that you've got the biggest apple tree in your yard. How do you know it's an apple tree? It's going to produce apples. Because if it doesn't produce apples, it wouldn't be an apple tree. So let's say it's time for the apples to bloom, to begin blooming, and then boom, you're going to have all these apples. And no leaves, no nothing. Just sticks. Can you call that an apple tree? I mean, you could, but really it's just a tree, right? And so let's say season after season, no apples are produced. We would then diagnose that tree as either unhealthy or dead. So why then do we not view our faith the same way? We are the tree. Our faith in Christ, his righteousness given to us, is our tree, and our fruit is what we then do because of our faith. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks food daily, and you say, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply for their bodily needs, what is the good of that? I want you to imagine for a moment that you are hungry, that you are needing clothing or shelter or whatever. And somebody stops and says, I'm so sorry, I'll pray for you. Now we know that prayer is a powerful thing, right? And I think we should stop and we should pray in those situations. But I think God calls us one step further. He calls us then to gather together. Maybe you can't do it individually, but as a body of Christ, we can then come together and help meet that need, so that our faith is now shown through our actions. So that person has now been prayed for, but now they've also sat down and they've had food. They've also covered their body. They've also covered themselves. We see that the examples of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's faith was so strong, he lived it out by letting Isaac go up on that altar. My faith's not that strong. I'm not taking my little boy near any thing like that. And I don't think any of you would either. But Abraham's faith was so strong. Rahab, the prostitute, knew what she was risking, but she knew that God would provide if she protected the spies, the messengers. So the truth is that if we placed our faith in Christ, if we've been born again, if we've been redeemed, if we've been restored, if we've been bought by the blood, all those things we say in Christian circles, then our faith should be pretty evident in the way that we treat and serve one another. It's pretty obvious, those of you that have known me for any time at all, what I'm a fan of, but you might not know why. Most of you know that I am a long time, forever and ever, regardless of what happens, I'm a South Carolina Gamecock fan. But you might not know why. See, the reason why is it's where my father went to school, and when I was 3 years old, he started taking me to ball games. And some of the best memories of my life were spent with his arm around me watching the Gamecocks play. You see, so I want them to win, but if they don't win, I still have those memories. I remember going on road trips and him taking me to see them play at an away game, and I got to go places that most of the kids in my classes didn't go. And so they're a special part. They're actually part of who I am, because now when I get to go to games, which is rare, I sit beside the same people that gave me popcorn when I was three. Now they're a little bit older, and I'm a little bit bigger. But they ask about my kids, and I call and check on them when they're in the hospital, because there's a relationship there. See, most of you know that I love our rebels, but you might not know why. You see, one of the reasons why is it's where I went to school, and I got to play there, and I got to win a championship there, and I met some of my best friends at that place. But it's bigger than that. See, I got to go back and work there for 7 years, and I met students during that time, students and athletes, who changed my life more than I ever impacted theirs. And I also got to work with people that taught me valuable lessons about being a young man, a husband, a father. On any given night, at least this time of the year in the Sizemore household, there is a Chicago Cubs game on. And some of you may say, well, you're only a Cubs fan because you went up there and now you're addicted. That's partially true. But my mother-in-law knew when she found out I was taking her daughter somewhere and I wasn't telling her where we were going, so he's going to Wrigley Field. She knew. She's been around me long enough to know that since I was this big, I dreamed of seeing that ivy. I dreamed of being there. My son knows who Harry Carey is. And we sing Go Cubs Go every time they win, don't we, buddy? So our why is very important. Most of you know, at least I hope you do, that I'm a Christian. But my prayer is that if you've ever spent time with me, you know that I am as imperfect as anybody you'll ever meet. But I have a desire to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. But you might not know my why. See, my why is because he touched me and he made me whole. And see, so that's why we do the things that we do. Our faith calls us to live out and serve others because we know what Christ has done for us. James tells us that there are people who do good without faith, and they just do good. And I'm thankful for that. But he also tells us that there are people with faith that aren't doing any good at all. So I want to ask you today, how alive is the fruit of your faith? Would anybody even know that you were on God's team? Would you say that your fruit on your tree shows your salvation and your gratitude for the blood of Christ? Or would anybody even know? Doing good works is who we are called to be. It's what we're called to do as disciples. It's where our roots come from as Methodists. And I want to say this. I know this series has been kind of hard because we're focusing on serving, and a lot of times we see this image and we feel like, well, preacher, you're telling me I don't live up to that, and you leave discouraged. Here's the good news of all of it. We'll never live up to where we think we should be, but the grace of God will fill the gap. So today, it really is irrelevant to me where you walked in here and what fruit is on your tree. What matters to me is how much fruit will start growing tomorrow. Because we can all start over again today. So the question, brothers and sisters, is would they know that you are a disciple? Would they know that here at this church, we're all about becoming and making disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com. Or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.